This is interview number one with Margie McSwern for the Rosie the Riveter Revisited project, recorded on October 29th, 1980. Interviewer is Sherna Glock.
What I'd like to start with is your family history and background, beginning with your grandparents and what you know about their background and what you recall about them.
Well, as far as we know, as the family security, we've been talking about it. My mother's parents were small town farming people from Silver City, what other town, Silver City, Albuquerque, all around there.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's were supposedly the upper crust, Spanish and French.
Hmm.
And they moved into that area. And my mother, he started courting my mother when she was only 13. And her parents would keep him away because she was too young. Till finally, when she was, I think, 15, they got married.
Well, now, do you know when the family came to New Mexico?
No. No. I was talking to my aunt, which is the last one left in the family, and she doesn't remember.
Mm.
So we wanted to look at my grandma's birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I had the picture of my grandma and my mother and her, my cute little old lady. She was darling. But she says, one of these days I'll get into the trunk.
Oh.
You know, and that's as far as she's led us up there.
But as far as you know, the grandparents on both sides were...
From New Mexico, in that area, small town, you know, farmers.
It's probably several generations back that...
Maybe my mother's family came from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They've never denied it,
mm-hmm.
but they've been born there. But my dad's family always said that he was from Spain,
mm-hmm.
Salazar, and she was de la Vadier, something like that, French.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And they let you know from the beginning
that
my mother's family weren't from over there, but that they were.
So there was quite almost a class distinction in terms
right.
of being of Spanish
right.
origin.
Right, right. And if you would see the difference, they were quite different as far as, they were uppity, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always that, even to this day, we'll see cousins, and they're so different from the cousins from the other side of the family. They're more, worldly-wise, sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
and the other ones are more friendly, more family.
Mm-hmm.
So they are different as far as maybe the fact that it was so instilled in them that they were from over there, you know. And in those days, it was something,
mm-hmm.
you know, to come from Europe or from Spain or wherever it was.
Do you know when they came from Spain?
No. I really honestly
mm-hmm.
don't.
What did they do, each of the grandparents? On one side they had...
They were farmers.
They
really.
Were both farmers.
Yes, yes. They came in there and did farming.
Mm-hmm. So both your mother and father were brought up
on a farm there, yes.
Do you know how they met since they courted so young?
My mother's brother, yes, married my father's sister.
Oh.
And... That's how they got to know each other. But my dad, I understand, was 12 or 13 years older than my mother, quite a bit older. And he always said that since he saw her, he loved her and he wanted that little girl, but they kept him apart and kept him apart. And finally, she got her wedding dress and her whole things ready, and they told her, my parents and my grandparents, that they wanted to get married.
Hmm.
So she started... She had eight children.
Now, how many siblings did she have in her own family?
In my mother's family?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say eight or nine. It was a large family.
Mm-hmm.
They were both large families.
And did they work the farm themselves?
I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine so. They weren't big-time farmers. They just honest working people, that's all.
And how about your dad's family? Was this a ranch or a farm?
I think they were both farms. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were any big main thing.
Yeah.
Because when I went over there with my godmother, took me to New Mexico, didn't seem that old big. You know, the mm-hmm. little towns seemed small, and they're small towns. Now it's big deal over there. But in those years, it wasn't nothing that I would care to go and live over. Mm-hmm. I was city bred, and I wanted to stay here.
What was the, do you know, in both the grandparents' households, was Spanish or English the primary language?
Well, both my parents spoke English very, very well, mm-hmm. both of them. So I think it was a mixture of the two, because, in fact, our Spanish and their Spanish was intermingled with English.
Mm-hmm.
We used a lot of words. I couldn't tell you offhand in Spanish that a person from Mexico, like my husband, has been educated and knows Spanish, and he can write it, you know, and very, very well. He'd laugh at me, and my in-laws would criticize me in my way of pronouncing some of those words and saying them, but it was because our English and Spanish were intermingled. Mm-hmm. And my mother became not a midwife, a nurse of sorts when she came over here. And she studied, and mm-hmm. she went, you know, under someone else. Mm-hmm. She never got her degree or anything, mm-hmm. but she helped in a clinic and all that.
Oh. Now, how much education did she get before she was married?
I don't think she had much,
mm-hmm.
being that she married so young,
yeah.
and being that she lived over there. I don't think she had much of an education. Though she knew how to write, and like I say,
we're talking in terms of your mother probably not having much education.
No,
she married so young. Mm-hmm. How about your father? Do you know
I imagine he had more because he worked for the government here. He worked, you know, he had a nice job surveying streets. That's what he did. Mm-hmm.
Now, when they married, then he would have been in his mid to late 20s.
Yes, yes. It was always a known fact that he was quite a bit older than Mom.
What was the feeling in the family about the age difference?
It didn't seem to bother them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they just wanted my mother, I think, to grow up more. And being that the other two had such a nice marriage, they knew he came from a good family. I don't think that bothered them.
Mm.
Then, it was Nancy and Grace and Rose and I were born over there. When I was about 4 months old, they came over here. My dad came over here first and got a house and got a job.
Where did they live there when they first married? Right in that
area? Yeah, I think
area?
In the same little area in there, yes.
And do you know what they were doing? Was he farming still?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine so he kept on with it in that line till they came over here.
So they were married, in about 1910 or so, would you say?
I think so. I know she had us quite close,
yeah.
About 2 years apart.
How old was she? You were the fourth then,
mm-hmm.
and there were three other girls.
So give it about 8 years when she married.
So about 1908.
Mm-hmm.
And by then she was only 21
8 years,
or so.
Yes, roughly, imagine. She had 8, and then she had 4 here.
Huh. So you don't remember much about what their life was like before they came to Los Angeles?
No. We tried to talk about it, but there's only, like I say, one aunt left,
mm-hmm.
and she's 73.
Mm.
And it's pretty hard to get anything out of her.
Well, it sounds like there was quite an age span in your mother's family, too, then.
Mm-hmm. And they lived close by, I know, because the one that married this brother, they didn't live far from us here in Los Angeles.
Oh. What made the family decide to come to Los Angeles?
I think more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was it, because he came over here and he always said during Depression we ate. We didn't have any problems. We had to watch our pennies, be careful, but he had a steady job, which a lot of people didn't have in those years.
Now you say your father came ahead.
Uh-huh. He came ahead. And he got a job, and then he sent for us.
Do you know what kind of job that was when he first came here?
I think he started from the beginning with the government.
Oh.
He talked of working in pictures, but he said that it wasn't for him because of the uncertainty of the job, and he wanted a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he started from the beginning. What department he started in, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the end when I grew up and he was surveying streets, that's
mm-hmm.
what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. And so the family moved to Los Angeles when
mm-hmm.
you were just a few months old then?
Just about 4 months old.
And what, did they move to the East LA area?
No. Ann Street, there was a clinic there, and we lived about a door from there. And that's how come my mother started working in that clinic on, it's not North Broadway, Main Street.
Oh, up in Boyle Heights area?
No. In the west side, way up in the west side, near, I don't think that's Boyle Heights.
Around Lincoln Heights, perhaps?
No, Main Street and do you know where that famous French dip place
uh-huh.
is? Well, not right there, but toward that part of town.
Yeah.
It's more, North Broadway,
mm-hmm.
I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
North Broadway, in that area
mm-hmm.
there. And we stayed there till he bought property on Marengo. Now, that would be the Boyle Heights
mm-hmm.
area, Marengo. And he built his own house there.
Oh. Tell me about what you recall from your very early childhood then in that area in North Broadway.
We went to school there. We went to the Ann Street School. And my mom worked in the clinic. And I recall being in place just like any normal child
mm-hmm.
and going to school, coming home, and supposed to do your work at home, help with the housework and all that sort of stuff. Because we must have lived there till we were about 10, 11 years old. No, younger than that, about 8 years old.
Do you remember what the, was it an apartment or house that you lived in over there?
It was a house.
Do you remember what that was like? Can you describe that?
It wasn't bad. It's just a normal little small house, not much. But like I say, it was right near the clinic, just
mm-hmm.
about a door from there. And we'd walk to school. The school wasn't far.
How large was the house? How many bedrooms did it have, for instance?
You got me there. Being that we were all girls, I don't think it would have had to have been too that big. And my sisters were all young then. They weren't in the going or dating stage or anything like that.
Did you share a bedroom with your sister?
We might have. Rose and I usually shared a room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one next to me. And probably Grace and Nancy shared their own room. I don't really remember. I don't remember
okay.
that part.
But so you had three older sisters, and
mm-hmm.
then when were your younger sisters born?
Brothers. Four boys.
Oh, the four oldest
four,
were girls and
mm-hmm.
the four youngest were boys.
I have a picture of them when they were very small with my dad. Joe, which was the oldest of the boys, was 3 years, I think, younger than me. So he must have been born 3 years after.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was roughly around, I think I was about seven when we moved to Boyle Heights. So he must have been a baby then.
Mm. And were the other boys weren't all born yet then by the time you moved over to Boyle Heights?
I think Joe and Eddie were already born.
Mm-hmm.
I think Leo and Jimmy were born in Boyle Heights.
Now, when you were that age, living over on Ann Street, what was the language in the home? Did your parents still speak some Spanish?
Spanish and English,
uh-huh.
yes.
So
we always, yes,
so
we always
learned
did.
Learned Spanish growing up then?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's how we learned.
And how about in the school? Were most of the children, in the neighborhood at that school on Ann Street Mexican descent at that time?
I think it was a lot of Italians in there. Because it still stayed an
mm-hmm.
Italian neighborhood in there afterward. I think there was a lot of Italians and Mexican
mm-hmm.
in there.
Because there weren't yet Chinese up in that area, I don't think, were there?
I don't remember.
You don't recall Chinese
no.
children in the school?
No. I don't think so.
Tell me a little bit about the kinds of games and activities you had as a youngster still living over in Ann Street.
I know, I recall plays, being in different plays, because I remember one time I was Loomis Muffet, and they had this door to go out to the stage, and I tripped and fell on the door, and it was a traumatic experience. I never will forget that. And they had to console me, get me up, and get me to go back on the thing. And but I don't remember. I guess it was the normal baseball or stuff like that, hopscotch.
But you were active physically then.
Oh, yes.
What kind of clothes would you wear for play? Were you in
dresses? I guess, yes. Mm-hmm. My dad was very active. He used to take us roller skating a lot.
Oh.
To the skating rinks when we were little. Mm-hmm. And being that he always wanted boys, he still was close to the girls in sports and stuff like that, till he got his voice.
What sorts of things would the family do with each other when you were...
We did a lot of picnic. Mm. And if being that it was reasonable and we were such a large family, the city always had picnics in either in Elysian Park or Eagle Rock. And they had all kinds of bands and all kinds of ice cream. We did a lot of picnic and a lot of camping trips. To us, in those years, San Gabriel Mountains was hundreds of miles away, and it was a big deal to go over there and camp for a week.
Oh, so you'd go for a long stretch?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'd go, and we'd pitch a tent, and we'd camp out there. It was a big deal for us to do that, and we'd enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And my dad would get his guitar and sing around the campfire, you know, and that night. We had a beautiful, beautiful family life. Mm. I hear children that talk of the bad luck. And I say, my God, how lucky we were. My dad was a family man, and so was my mother. They loved their children. They gave us the best within their means, mm-hmm, that they could.
Who were you closer to, your mother or your father?
Well, I guess I'd say my mother, because we inherited so many of her ways. She was good at sewing, crocheting, mm-hmm, knitting, house cleaning, and from young we were taught that we were going to have our friends over. You had to clean the house and have them over to a nice clean house. And when they left, we picked up after them. And my dad was really an outdoor man, really, really. He loved to do all those things. So I think primarily we were all closer to Mom.
Mm. And what was your relationship like with your sisters, your older sisters?
Rose and I were very close. And, well, Grace and Rose were close. They were together, and they were the older sisters, really. And Rose and I were always very close. Now there's just three of us left, but we're still very close.
Would you do things with each other as children, or were your friends primarily outside?
No. Rosie and I used to go to school together and come. We had to be together. That was a cardinal rule. She took care of me, I took care of her, till she got married. We were never allowed out alone. I was 21 when I went out alone with a boy.
So, I mean, this was from your parents and sisters?
Upbringing in the family life. That was their way of protecting each other. I was 21 when I went out alone with a boy, and that was because Rosie was engaged, and I didn't want to go along with her and her boyfriend that she was going to marry.
Now, how about the older sister? Did she have someone who had accompanied her?
They had to be together, those Grace and Nancy, till she got married. Then when Gracie got married, she married right after Nancy because she already had her mind made up. I'm getting out of here. But I'm not sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sorry. I think it's beautiful.
Now, tell me.
Across the street.
Well, my car sounds like that.
Oh. No.
Tell me what your, of course, when you were still living on Ann Street, you only had the very young brother. He was, mm-hmm, still a child.
Joe and Eddie, I think, were born there.
What, you mentioned that all the children had to do chores in the household. What sorts of chores would you do in the house as a youngster?
Clean house, wash dishes, dry them, put them away, and then they would come. And we had tile all along that side there. I told my husband that tile had to shine by the end of the day. We had to clean it and polish it up and see that it was left clean, or else.
Tell me more about your mother becoming involved in working in the clinic. How old were you then? Do you recall?
No, I was very young. Mm-hmm. I was very young because I know we all went there, had our tonsils removed there, and she would take care of us and then come take care of us at home. Then I recall being very sick. I was really the most delicate in the family because I had double pneumonia. And in those years, that was pretty fatal. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn to walk. I lost all my hair. Mm. It hit me very, very bad.
How old were you when that happened?
God, I guess I was about 5, 6 mm-hmm. years old. Very young, very young. And I recall that Mom used to take me with her to the clinic and have me in that special room so she could. Obviously, she must have had to help. She probably needed the job, needed the money, you know, to get ahead or to do whatever they needed. And she'd take me, and I'd be in that room, and I used to hate to be alone in a room from then on. That's why I guess we always shared, my sister and I. But she was very, very active there, and she learned a lot of things about health and a lot of things that benefited her later on mm-hmm. in her life.
Now, then she worked there a couple of hours a day, or did she work there full-time?
No, she worked part-time. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't full-time because she was always home. I know we always were home. Now, I don't recall ever her going away and not being home, so it must have been just part-time with 4 kids, I don't think. It would have been otherwise.
Now, up until that time, she'd had no sort of training.
No,
something
no.
She picked up
no,
working
no.
there.
Working there. That's what she did. And she was good at it afterward. Everybody, all the neighborhood used to come around and ask her what to do for this, what to do for that. I recalled to then, even when we were grown up, our door was always open. You never knew what it was like to lock a door, I tell the kids. All the boys, the friends of my son, of my brothers, they knew they could come over and if we had something, they were welcome to eat there, you know, kids. And they'd call my mom. Everybody was mom. She was mom to everybody. And now you got to lock your door.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like your household was sort of a hub of activity.
Mm-hmm,
in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And in fact, I recall my dad having a small car that he'd drive to work, little Ford. Mm-hmm. In fact, we got in trouble, my sister and I, one time. You know, that Harold that they used to paint the cars with all kinds of razzmatazz and all those things. My sister and I went and did that to the car. Boy, did we get it. And he had a truck. And in the truck, he'd load it up with the family, and we were allowed to invite one friend each. And he'd take us to the mountains. And the boys were over there in a tent with him. The girls were over here.
With your mother?
With my mother. And well supervised, and we'd have a ball. We'd all join in the cooking and join in on cleaning and putting up the tents. But they seemed to enjoy spreading what they had to everybody.
Well, tell me, in that kind of situation, when you would go camping and the boys would be separate with your mm-hmm. father and the girls would be with your mother, would you do different chores? For instance, would the girls also collect firewood and make fires, or was that something the boys did and the girls did something else?
I think that was it was more in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dad used to supervise making the fires and picking the wood and going walking around, you know, getting the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Though I recall one time he took my 2 older sisters on a hike and they got lost.
And all of them are just...
The 3 of them got lost. And we were worried, and they didn't come, and they didn't come. We were worried to death about them. Finally, they came straggling in when it was getting down dark, and my dad says, we got lost.
It sounds like the family did a lot of things together.
Yes, yes.
How about mealtime? What was that like in your house?
A big family meal.
And the whole family would eat together?
That was the one time in the day when we all had to be home to eat. There was no straggling coming in whenever you pleased or making yourself a sandwich. No, we sat down to have a meal. That was a sacred thing with my dad. He wanted his family right there.
And this would be when he came home from work then?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He used to come home early because he used to pick me up in school a lot of times when I was going to private school. And he'd come in, get his report from the nun, and I'd better not have goofed up. And he'd take me home. So he used to, I think he used to get out around 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh.
And take us home, but he worked very early in the morning.
What was it like at mealtime at the table? Was there much conversation?
Mm-hmm. It was nice. It was nice. In fact, my dad was very playful. I recall, we've always talked about this, when you're eating watermelon, he was the first one to get one of those seeds and try and hit somebody, you know? He was a lot of fun. He was strict as anything, but he was fun.
When you say he was strict, in what ways?
When he said something like, it sounds terrible now, but it really wasn't. Okay, you had 3 parties to go that month. No, sir. You went to 1 party and 1 show. You had to pick which you wanted to see. You weren't going to be out in the street all the time. So if you were invited, your girlfriends had invited you, even if it was a little kid party,
mm-hmm.
they'd take us, drop us off, or pick us up, but you had to show it, make your choice. No, my God, if you don't go to a party every weekend, you're a wallflower.
So it sounds like you were very carefully supervised,
mm-hmm.
in other words.
Yeah, I mean, they were very, very, very much so.
It almost sounds, much of it almost sounds like a carryover of behavior in Spain, of the protection of the girls.
Right, right. Right.
Were the boys as protected and as strictly supervised?
Well, the boys, my God, my dad died when Jimmy was just about 4 years old. So he didn't get to really, really get at the supervision of his sons the way he would have liked to.
How old were you when he died?
It's about 15, I think. Uh-huh. 14, 15, around there. He had a ruptured appendix.
What was their relationship like, your mother and father? How would they go about making decisions in the household?
I think they almost knew each other's ideas. And they never went against each other. That was something. If my dad said this was it, and we'd go to Mom, she'd say, no, your dad said it. And he would back her up too, mm-hmm. and everything. So I think it was a mutual understanding or a mutual, the way they were brought up or whatever it was, mm-hmm. they seemed to agree in all those things, mm-hmm. very, very well.
Was one of them the disciplinarian, or did they both?
No, my mom could just as well turn around and give us holy heck as my dad. My dad was a stronger one.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to get hit by dad, but my mom could take care of her own self. We didn't pull it. She didn't